Now, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read down a few verses, about five. He's been talking about the gospel here, and in verse 5, he says this. He said, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. We're going to just give us a time that those that did see, some of the 10 times that through the scriptures that they saw him alive. Cephas ben Peter, he said one of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth until this present, but some have fallen asleep. Then what? After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then notice Paul said this, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Paul said that I saw him too. He didn't see him beforehand. He was trying to kill Christians. And beforehand, he didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the true Messiah to the day that he met him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And now he says that he was one that he appeared to also. He saw him as one born out of due time. Now, this is about 56 A.D. when Paul wrote this. And he's given record the fact, time pointed God gave, he revealed himself to him alive. This Jesus that they taught that was alive, in turn, where he killed people because they were believing in him, he didn't believe in him, from the Acts chapter 9 on, he began to turn around, and he said, I saw him myself risen from the dead. This, in turn, was the one he added to replace Judas Iscariot, where the 12 apostles would be equal back. Even though Matthias was in Acts put there, but we never see much about him. God chose Paul for the missionary to the Gentiles. And so in 56 A.D., the Apostle Paul wrote that over 500 people had seen him risen from the dead, and most of them were still alive. And it's beyond the bounds of credibility that any Christian could have manufactured this tale if it's not true. The credibility would be just, they had enough credibility of people who said they did see him to make it true and compared to those who said that it's not true. And so he began to preach that Jesus rose from the dead, because the Holy Spirit led him to do just that. And they could not have manufactured this tale, because if they had, it been easy to refute it. If Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, and 500 people said he was, if he had not been, that would have been fairly easy to refute what they said. I mean, you take 500 people, and I guarantee you, if they said something happened, it didn't happen, it won't be long, somebody for money would tell you the truth about it. And that's what we see here. We know this, the soldiers to lie about what happened at the tomb when Christ rose from the dead. They were paid some money, and they claimed the disciples came and stole the body. And even into the first century, we find this the same thing was being said. So Bible scholars come up and they reason this way, and I believe in this, and there's one called Gizra and Turek. He said, if the resurrection had not occurred, why would the Apostle Paul, even using him as an example, give such a list of supposed eyewitnesses? I mean, Paul would immediately lost his credibility with his readers at Corinth simply because he'd been telling a lie, and they would have known it's a lie, and they'd have found out it's a lie, and immediately he'd have been dropped. Now, look with me in Peter, if you will, in chapter 10. I want you to turn over there just a minute, because this is going to help us look at another thing as we talk about Christ's resurrection of the dead and what God is doing. In Acts chapter 10, we see Peter going to Cornelius' house. He's been called to go first to the Gentiles. He's to go down to Caesarea and talk to some people about the Lord Jesus Christ. One who is a leader, Cornelius is his name. And here Peter tells the crowd at Caesarea why he and the other disciples are so convinced that Jesus was alive. And that's the reason now that they're going forth, probably some, 11 years later, preaching this message of the cross, which 1 Corinthians 15 tells us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to read through, go back in verse 29, and we're going to see what Peter is preaching to the house of Caesarea and those people that were there and what happens. Now, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, we're in chapter 10. From chapter 1 to chapter 10, a lot of things have happened. If you look in chapter 1 and go back and you see when the Lord Jesus Christ, before he went back to heaven in verse 8, he gave them, blessed them and told them what he told in Matthew about going into all the world and preach the gospel. Except here in chapter 1, verse 8, he says that they're to go into where? The Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. I better read it. Somebody acting like it's not there. Let me show it's there. Look in verse 8 of chapter 1. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. That means you're going to bear record of the real truth. That means you're going, God's going to be in you, in Christ, reconciling you to the place that you will be witness of this great, wonderful event that God's going to do for humanity that's been planned since Adam fell. He said, you shall be witness in all Judea and Samaria. Notice, first of all, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the other parts of the earth. In other words, this thing will start out, and eventually there will be simultaneously a massive movement of God's people that are witnesses, maybe at the same time at different places, as far as the mission is, Jerusalem and Judea, because that Jerusalem took the city, which was the main part of everything happened, and Judea being the scattered parts of could be Jerusalem and also others that would be in the area. Samaria and Jerusalem could have been intermingled a little bit, but he's laying it out for us that people are concerned, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the other part of the earth, he's talking about the rest and everyone else that's lived. Now, one thing that always blesses me as I look, we're talking about the resurrected Lord now, one thing always blesses me is this, that God don't tell us something without practicing himself. And what's what we're seeing in Acts chapter 1 through chapter 10. And then chapter 11, Paul gives account of what happened in chapter 10, and we'll read that in just a few minutes. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that Peter, as he preaches in Acts chapter 10, let's go read that, and we'll come back and tie it together. In Acts chapter 10, and look, we were starting in verse 29. And here's how it goes. In verse 29, it says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent, for I asked therefore what intent ye have sent for me. He's talking about the men that came to get Peter. You know, Peter refused to go to start with. He just said, no, they're Gentiles, they're dogs, right? They're unclean. And it had that sheep came down from heaven, and in a dream, Lord told him to take and eat. He said, no, I'm not touching any unclean thing. And then later he found out that God was trying to give him pre-knowledge of something that he was going to do, that he said he was not going to do. And, of course, that was Cornelius' house. And so he goes on and he said, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and tell hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Now, ladies and gentlemen, think with me a minute. As you read this, don't you wonder, Lord, why didn't you just go to Cornelius? Don't you think you could have? He went to Peter. You know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because God sticks to his plan. He goes to those that were in turn, he challenges and brings into the minister of the message to go to others. And that's what's happened here. Peter and the apostles are the main ones now that are going to be taking this great message about the resurrected Lord. Why? Because they saw him in a resurrected form. They could witness of what they saw as much as what they knew by the Holy Spirit of God. If God had just went to Cornelius, he had power enough that he could make him believe, but God doesn't burglarize one's will. And somebody would say, well, if God had come to him, he'd have been almost overwhelmed with the fact that God would speak to him. He'd probably been scared to death too. You go back to the Old Testament when God spoke to people verbally. Israel didn't want him to speak to him no more after he got through with them the first time. He came in on a high horse, thunder and lightning and earthquake on top of a mountain lit up like it was on fire. And when he spoke out a voice so loud and clear, the people trembled. And they told Moses, next time, Moses, you talk to him and come tell us what he said. That's just paraphrasing in good old Johnson County English. Amen. So here, he's going to send Peter over there. Why? He's going to practice what he said. The fact is that this message is going to be given to his people, and the Holy Spirit's going to use that to witness to this world that God was in Christ reconciling this world unto himself, and that same power in us is in us preaching Christ to reconcile this world unto himself. And so he goes on. He said, immediately therefore I sent thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And Cornelius said, that's what I did. That's what was said. If God could come to him and tell him to go get Peter, why didn't he tell him right then? Because God practices what he sets up. He sent the church into the world. And the beginning of that was the apostles when he gave the commission before the church was ever come into existence as we know of it today. Now watch. Verse 34. Peter now gives sermon to the Gentiles. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of truth, I perceive that God is no respectable person. I love that. Now let me say, you say, preacher, every word is a morsel of bread from God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that tells me right there. Some people say, well, you know, we call it hyper-Calvinist. They say that one is preordained to go to heaven, one's preordained to go to hell. Well, if that be the case, God is a respectable person. Now, Peter preached to these Gentiles and said, God is no respectable person. That means when the message goes out, and if a person goes to hell, it'll be because they rejected the message. And those go to heaven will be because they accepted the message. It won't be because one is worse than the other. We're all still with sin, and sin is sin. But only the blood of Christ can cleanse us, and therefore the acceptance of Christ gets us to be part of the family of God. And so he goes on, and he said, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now, worketh righteousness. Someone said, well, see there, you must be able to do something in yourself to merit before God. Well, I know this. Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 5, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Sadducees, or Pharisees. Well, let's read it. It's one of those groups anyhow. My mind has got a lot going on in it. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 5. He said, I send you that except your righteousness shall exceed this, that righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, if there's anyone in this world that thought they had enough righteousness to merit something from God, it would have been those leaders. You got to exceed that. Well, now, if you got to exceed that, who are we going to go to that can exceed such a great people who not only said they were who they were, but wore the garments around so you could look at them when they're coming, and in your mind, you said in your mind they were great because of the border and because they looked so holy than thou. And Jesus said, no, you're right, you got to exceed that to get into the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. And so here we know this righteousness comes because of what Peter's fixing to preach. He said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You know what? Peter had a lot of trouble in the world somewhere of the day, wasn't he? You get preaching Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, and all these other religious groups. They'll tell you, right, hey, our nation right now, many high-ups will tell you, no, wait a minute, you don't get the place that you think that you've got the only thing, a monopoly on God. We don't have a monopoly on God, but we do have his son. And that's who he said he's well pleased with, if we're born into the family of God. And so he said, peace of God, Lord, he is the Lord of all. Now, the word that I say, ye know, which was published throughout as all Judah, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. And he goes back and picks up where John come on the scene, preaching the make you pass straight and so forth, the coming of the Messiah. Now, he said, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, watch that. Someone said, wait, maybe you were wrong that he won't equal with God. You got to keep in mind, Jesus Christ, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, were equal to each other in everything. But there's a difference in the identity of them. The powers in both of them. But when you see God the Father, you know he's different than God the Son, though Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. It blows your mind on it, but it gives you great truth. And so we're seeing, hey, he's talking about they're equal as far as God is concerned. They're equal in power. They're equal in knowledge. They're equal in eternity from everlasting to everlasting. Everything, they're equal. But when they present themselves to us, they're different in identity. The Holy Spirit is entirely different that we see what his job is to do than God the Son. God the Son is different what the Holy Spirit was. Though Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will tell you about me. and they are different. They two are different than God the Father is, and yet all three are one. Why? Because if you see what one would do, all three would agree to it. But there is a difference. I'm in his family. Now, it's a poor example because I'm still in his because of birth. But every one of my brothers and sisters are different. I'm not, but they're different. You know, I'm different too, amen. It helps me see. That's a poor example. But you understand, and you're the same way. You're different in identity, though you're part of the same family. And so where we are now, it looks like that God is showing us what he has to do for us. Not necessarily he had to do it for his son, but what he has to do for us to be what we need to be, to do what God wants us to do. We need this appointment. We need this calling. And it'll be based on how we serve him. One of the things that amazes me, past some time, preacher asked a question not long ago, preacher, I just don't understand why some people serve God 20 years and all of a sudden they just quit. You know what happens a lot of times? There's somehow another feeling they don't mean all that much. And ladies and gentlemen, that shouldn't be. God ought to mean more to us now than he did when we got saved. Amen. He ought to mean more to us now. We ought to be, I may have to adjust. You've heard me say that. But ladies and gentlemen, this thing of just saying that person just gives up and just quits and don't try to do anything at all for God is amazing to me, because we who have been there a long time, young folks, need to see some people who stick. They need to see some people who stick and say, look, when it comes down to their day to get where we're at, they ought to be able to say, but I want to tell their children, I want to tell you of so-and-so and so is in our church, that where he was there and where he was faithful and she was faithful and what they did in our church. They ought to be able to give somebody an example to prove to them, hey, what God offers is worth as much 20, 30 years, 50 years from now as it is right now. So here Peter's going on with it. He said, That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism with John. He said, now God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing of that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, don't you understand that when Peter is preaching this at this time, they're thinking about Christ when he's on this earth in a body and they could see him in a body? And he was tying it together. They would have never, these Gentiles would never understood if he'd come down talking to them in the sense that God didn't have to do that. But it shows that God is showing them who he is as his son on this earth in a body of flesh. Though he knew the Father's will, he even prayed sometimes it be thy will. So we'd understand what prayer means for us, who is not his only begotten son, but we're children of God because of him being the only begotten son and coming and dying, that we might be called sons and daughters of God. So that helps me get that. See, every verse you get into, you stop and analyze, because somewhere or another, someone read that verse probably and trying to deny who God really is, what Christ is really doing. One verse seems like that, but you tie these together and you begin to see God does some things because we wouldn't get it unless he did do it, unless he showed us, unless he revealed to us from an earthly standpoint. And then you realize, hey, when Jesus Christ came, he was as connected to God as much as it was when he was on the other side before he came. But God showed us in a body of flesh what he could do for us. And he went on. He said, now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, and the devil, for God was with him. And we are witness, here we go, we are witness all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now watch. He goes back and what is he doing? Where's the commission in Acts 1:8? Jerusalem what? Judea? So here right now, we got the first two places that where Jews would be at. And then, of course, in Jerusalem, you could have others in there. But he's setting forth the center part. Jerusalem, Judea, setting forth our center would be reach ours here and then move out further and further, as you've seen we try to do through the Minister of Fellowship Baptist Church. And he said, in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hang on a tree. Notice he said, they slew and hang on a tree. He wasn't even blame the Gentiles for this, but the Gentiles needed it. He wanted them to know that he's talking about that same person that just about probably, 12 years before, is the one that hung on that cross, pronounced dead, was buried, and did rise from the dead. Now that makes the difference. Can you not see? I can see those people say, listen, what is it? Everybody dies. No, yeah. Did he die? Oh, yes, he died. Was he buried? Yes, he was buried. Well, that closes it for me then. No, it don't. Why? Because he rose again. Amen. Oh, I like that. I just like, let me get happy. I like that. Praise God. He said, listen, and we're a witness of all these things. He goes on. Now, God has raised him up the third day and showed him openly. Not all to the people, but unto not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now, isn't it amazing? Watch this now. When Jesus hung on the cross, even the world saw it. Right? As a matter of fact, about everybody left who was around Christ, except the women and John hanging on the cross. There's a crowd of people. Listen, you know, when you have something like this, crowds come. This was event of the day in that day. They didn't tell how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that were there around that hill. So when Christ hung on the cross, the whole world saw it. The whole world saw him put in a grave. But they didn't see him raised. He came to those who believed. You know why? They're the only ones who are going to tell the story. Don't you see why? If you put this down, and I have to do that, for my mind is like a child just about, because I can't get it unless you get like a child. Don't you see God makes that so real? Ain't no one shake you on this in your faith. These seats to be full of people could see what we see tonight and really believe it, that what Christ has done for us. That's all there is to it. This is food for the soul. And I'll tell you what, if we don't get this basis down in our hearts and lives, ladies and gentlemen, soon later, you may not have a Bible to read like we have today. That's all there is to it. Because if one thing's for sure, those who hate Jews and Christians is because they hate the true God, and if they hate the one who's doing the witnessing, they're going to hate the book that you witness from. And that's the Word of God. And so we go on. He said, God raised up the third day. Not all the people unto witness Joseph before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He said, and he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give all the prophets witnessing that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin. Now, I want you to watch what is happening. This shocked Peter. Peter, hey, you go through that, and Peter is giving Cornelius just what God gave him to give. Going right, he was pleased to teach these Gentiles now after he went through that room, through that endeavor a few days before with that sheep and all. And he's preaching this. I mean, he's going to it. Now, if you go back and look from Acts 1 to Acts 10, what happens now has not happened as of yet. And there's a reason for it. Watch what happens. Now, keep in mind, Peter's preaching. I don't know how he was preaching, but I know he was preaching heavy. He may not have been like Joe Arthur, but he was preaching. I tell you that. And I'll tell you what, he had more power than Joe had. If Jesus could just speak, that'd be enough. And I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying this is Jesus speak. This is Jesus who he's speaking about. And by the way, at this time, Peter was an eyewitness of what he's talking about. And that means he was not just taking information per se, even though he was adding information to it by God, I'm sure. And since the Holy Spirit had come, even more recollect what is going on, but what has happened. He's preaching, and this is what blesses me. Watch verse 44. And while Peter yet spake these words, watch this now. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Now, these six brethren who went with him, how do I know they're six? Because in chapter 11, he's rehearsing. He says in verse 12, there were six of them that left Jerusalem and came with him there to Caesarea. And these are the ones standing around, as far as we know, who were the Hebrew brethren. And when this happened, they were astonished. They had never seen that. Oh, they were at the day of Pentecost, probably when the Holy Spirit came. But you know, the Holy Spirit came the day of Pentecost before Peter preached. We'll go back and look at that. Well, we'll have to do it next week. But I want you to get ready to say it. He said, "While yet he speak, words of the Holy Ghost fell upon them which heard him. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues, and mighty God, and magnified God, then answered Peter." Can any, he just stopped his message. Look, he stopped his message. He said, "Hey, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Peter recognized, hey, he didn't see nothing. The fact that the Holy Ghost came upon them at that time. Now, you're going to see, if here you're going to see the message of God changes a little bit here on out. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, let me go back and look with me just a couple verses there in chapter 1. Let's see. In chapter 2, I'm sorry. In chapter 2. If you look in chapter 2, about 5, verse 5, "There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when the noise was abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." There's 18 nationalities here. Jews from different parts of the country where they've been dispersed. And every one of them was talking at one time, and everybody understood everybody else. That's what this is talking about. You can't get away. King James has got it right here when he says this. He says that every man heard them speak in his own language. That's his dialect. Now, the thing about this is this. The Methodist was, if you look with me and what happens in Acts, if you look down to verse 37, I'm going to read verse 32 down for a little bit, but if you look in verse 37, 38, and this is how it is now. And you got to keep in mind, Acts is a transition period. God is moving from the old covenant to the new covenant, and there's a message that needs to be declared until Jesus can come and the Holy Spirit come, and then the Holy Spirit starts to do things about the gospel of Christ as drawing people to the Lamb of God. Peter preaches here. Now, when they heard this, go back. Let's see. When Peter is preaching, therefore, look in verse 30. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, highly received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." He's talking about David and how this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who the resurrection proves that who he is. Look in verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." He's made him Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing one, in the sense of the fact that who he really is, manifests that in his life, and he's made him the Messiah, which one you're looking for. Not only is he your Messiah, but he's the one who can save your soul. And how? How do I know that? Because he rose from the dead. You took by your wicked hands and crucified him, and they buried him. But on that third day, he rose from the dead. Now watch. Then when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter. Ain't that an amazing thing? Peter is preaching to them the same message about the resurrection of Christ as he is to Cornelius. But here he gets through preaching about this, and they said, notice what they asked. They said, they were pricked in their heart. That word he preached pricked their heart. And he said to them and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brothers, what shall we do? What can we do?" They're ready. Listen, this is amazing. What can we do? Now, what would you tell someone today? What did Paul tell the Philippian jailer? Come on out, tell me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what? And thou shalt be saved. Isn't it an amazing thing that when Peter is preaching to the Gentiles, he didn't have a chance to give an invitation? They didn't ask him, "What shall we do?" While he was preaching, the Holy Spirit came upon those people. And he connected to the Jews through these six Jewish men that it's the same Spirit that they had affect them in Acts chapter 2. So he's tying it together. He's God of the old covenant. He's God of the new covenant. He's God of what happened at Calvary. He's God of the transition period. And he's got a plan and a purpose. And that's the Great Commission. Go into the world, preach the gospel, but you start in your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the most parts of the earth. And watch what Peter said. Now, here's where a lot of errors come, because some people say, well, you just got to be baptized to be saved. What does he say? Peter said unto them, and he did say this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And he says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's not what he said to Cornelius' house. Don't he puzzle you? Is he not the same God? Amen. You know what, amazing folks? It's a blessed thing. God is keeping his record straight. See, these Jews knew the Messiah was coming. Not only they believed, when they believed that he was the Messiah to come, believed the one that God had sent, when they heard the message after his resurrection, the thing they had to do was show that they believed the message. And the way they did that, through baptism. Just like John the Baptist was in his day. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation other than the fact to show you identify with someone. And what has happened, he said, well, hey, if you ask that question, thing to do, just repent of your sins. Now, if you repent of your sins, you know what I've said, and you know that Christ, who he is, repent of your sins. And that's exactly what they did. And he said, when you do that, when you repent of your sins, and he said, and you're baptized, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. But when you get to the book of the 10th chapter, it changes. And from there on, the message is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. We'll say that God contradicts him. No. God is showing us in his plan and purpose. That's the reason we can get saved through Christ today when the Old Testament saints didn't know who he was. They just bought a lamb. Somebody said, well, if that be the case, you got to be baptized. He said, repent, be baptized. Isn't it an amazing thing? These people received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 10. And after he saw the symptoms of the Holy Spirit being on them, and they heard them speaking and could understand language the same way, they're not, it's hard to understand exactly all about the tongues is here, but one thing is for sure, they knew that they had the same thing they had at the day of Pentecost. Amen? Amen. And what happens was, then he says, hey, what can hinder these people be baptized? It's Peter who said that. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. I thank you. Bless your word to our hearts. Help us to grow, Lord. That may be the reason we're not going soul winning like we should, because we just don't get it. We live in an age today that people trick us up every way we go. Lord, this world is learning by satanic principles to get us to doubt what we're doing or bring fear to our heart. We began to see the picture in a way. It's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us that unction and gives us what is needed. I say, Lord, help me fulfill my task. Why I'm here in time, to be the vessel that I can be, to witness about my Savior to a lost and dying world. And dear Father, don't let me get tied up on technicalities where people cry contradictions and things like that. Help me, at least with my mind, may never be able to convince someone, but Lord, help me in my mind to keep the direction in the right way. Help me see why the Old Testament was necessary, why I need to learn that, and things how God dealt with people, because that shows what God would do with sin, and it shows what God would do with people who confess sin. And Israel, all through their years, had been told to confess sin, make things right with God in the Old Covenant, and then give the right sacrifices to take care of sin for missions. So when Peter, at this time, when they asked, after he preached this message about death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and who he was, and brought David into it, and what David had said, prophesying the things of the future, they said, what should we do? He said, repent and be baptized, and you receive the Holy Ghost. Help us develop this more next Wednesday, and a few couple Wednesdays from now we'll be through, but it's going to help us stand upon the rock, Lord, because of the blessed Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. I believe, Lord, the Holy Spirit's eager to teach us, but we ought to be eager to learn. And when we are, God blesses us to understand his plan and purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.